On the Banana River, 5 miles south of the launch complex, all manner of boats choked the watercourse. Aboard the deck of a private yacht, I stood with my mother, Janet Armstrong, and my 6-year-old brother, Mark, nervously awaiting the launch. I was 12 years old at the time. The boat not only kept us away from the crowds and the press, it gave us what my mom called a numero uno spot. Above us, a steady drone of helicopters signaled the arrival of one group of VIPs after another at reserved bleacher seating in the closest viewing stands, a little more than 3 miles away from the launch pad. 2,000 reporters watched the launch from the Kennedy Space Center press site. 812 came from foreign countries. Landing on the moon was a shared global event which transcended politics. Wherever possible, people worldwide listened to the launch on radio or watched it live on television, itself a technological miracle made possible by the launch of the first telecommunication satellites earlier in the decade. At the U.S. Embassy in Seoul, 50,000 South Koreans gathered before a wall-sized screen. A crowd of Poles filled the auditorium at the American Embassy in Warsaw. Nowhere on the globe was the excitement as palpable as it was throughout the United States. In East Tennessee, tobacco farmers picking small pink flowers from tobacco plants crowded around someone's pocket-sized transistor in order to share the big moment. In the harbor at Biloxi, Mississippi, fishermen waited on the wharf before taking their shrimp boats out into the Gulf of Mexico until hearing on their radios that Apollo 11 had lifted off. In the 24-hour casino at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, the blackjack and roulette tables sat empty. All the gamblers had picked up their cards and chips and were standing spellbound in front of 6 television sets. The multitude who were lucky enough, like me, Mom, and Mark, to be in position to see the launch in person, were not likely to ever forget it. My own recollection is that the 7 million pounds of thrust delivered by the Saturn V rocket's main engines produced a visceral experience in your body in a way that nothing else on the planet can generate. Even those who came to the launch to protest could not help but be deeply moved by the wonder of it all. Reverend Ralph Abernathy, successor to the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and de facto leader of the American Civil Rights Movement, came to Florida to direct a 48-hour protest demonstration. Nonetheless, Reverend Abernathy said he succumbed to the awe-inspiring launch and ended up fervently blessing the enterprise. He said, "For that particular moment and second, I really forgot that we have so many hungry people in the United States of America. I was one of the proudest Americans as I stood on this soil. I think it's really holy ground." In central Ohio, 1,000 miles from the viewing stands in Florida, a hushed stillness fell over the little burg of Wapakoneta, my dad's hometown, as the launch counted down. Streets were virtually empty, with nearly 6,700 residents glued to their television sets. The quiet, even quasi-religious anticipation of the launch followed weeks of commercial and patriotic uproar in the town. Nowhere had it been noisier or more chaotic than at 912 Neil Armstrong Drive, the one-story ranch-style home of Viola and Stephen Armstrong, my grandparents. My dad had advised them to stay home, saying the pressure might be too great for them at the Cape. Not that there was any way for my grandparents to avoid the spotlight. The night before the launch, a reporter counted a total of 233 cars circling their suburban block. Facilitating their coverage of Apollo 11 from Wapakoneta, the three major TV networks merged their efforts and erected an 85-foot-high transmission tower in the driveway of my grandparents' house. Scattered across the front yard were lights, cameras, and microphones powered by huge electrical cables. The garage was turned into a press room with messy rows of telephones temporarily installed atop folding picnic tables. Around noontime the day before the launch, my dad called my grandparents from the Cape. "We enjoyed a very pleasant conversation," recalled my grandmother. His voice was cheerful, and he said he thought they were all ready for the launch the next morning. My grandfather said, "Will you call us again before you leave?" And my dad